Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Ryan Holiday's conspiracy and Sophie. I have to say, this book completely changed how I think about secret plots.
Hey there, Sam. I'm so glad you picked this one. It's not at all what I expected from the title. I thought it might be about conspiracy theories or debunking fringe stuff, but it's actually about how real conspiracies work, using the assassination of Julius Caesar as the main case study.
Right, exactly. And the first thing Holiday does is draw this really important line between a conspiracy theory and an actual conspiracy. A theory is like a speculative story you can never prove, but a conspiracy is a real, secret plan by actual people to achieve a specific goal.
Yes, and his focus is purely on the latter. He's not interested in the wild stuff. He wants to understand the mechanics. How do these things actually come together and then fall apart?
So he walks through the assassination of Caesar, which involved over 60 senators. They met in secret, coordinated everything, and executed the plan with brutal precision. But here's the kicker. They had absolutely no plan for what came next.
That's the core lesson, isn't it? They assumed that by removing the tyrant, the Republic would just magically restore itself. Holiday calls it a tool for destruction, not creation.
Yeah, and he breaks down the anatomy of a conspiracy into four components. The first ingredient is a group of people who feel aggrieved or threatened. In Caesar's case, the ringleader Cassius was driven by personal resentment. He'd been passed over for honors and was deeply envious.
That's such a universal pattern. Most conspiracies aren't born from pure ideology, but from wounded pride and a sense of personal injustice. The conspirators think they're acting for the greater good, but their motives are tangled up with their own egos.
Then there's the secrecy component. The more people involved, the harder it is to keep a secret. They met in private homes and swore oaths, but the shared secret creates this powerful bond and also a ton of paranoia. Everyone's watching each other, wondering who might break.
Right, and that leads to the third component, the decision to act. There's this point of no return. For the assassins, it was the Ides of March. They had to be in perfect sync, and any hesitation could have derailed everything.
They actually succeeded in killing Caesar, which is a testament to their planning. But then comes the fourth component, the aftermath, and this is where everything falls apart. They had no post-conspiracy strategy whatsoever.
Holiday argues that the most common failure of conspiracies isn't the planning or execution, but the total lack of a coherent plan for after. The assassins thought the Republic would spontaneously heal, but instead they plunged Rome into a bloody civil war.
They didn't account for how the Roman people would react. They were horrified by the murder of their leader. And they didn't account for other ambitious men like Mark Antony and Octavian who rushed to fill the power vacuum.
It's the central tragedy. The cure was worse than the disease. Holiday calls this the conspiracy trap. Once you start thinking like a conspirator, you get trapped in a worldview that distorts your judgment. You see enemies everywhere and lose sight of open, democratic processes.
And there's this illusion of control too. The conspirators believe they can master events through secret action, but control is an illusion. The assassination didn't restore the Republic. It led to the Roman Empire. They set off a chain of events they couldn't predict.
Holiday draws parallels to modern conspiracies too, from corporate takeovers to political scandals. The same patterns repeat. A group feels aggrieved. They meet in secret, they act, and then the plan backfires in ways they never expected.
The book also digs into the psychology of the conspirator. These are often intelligent, ambitious, deeply frustrated people who feel the system is rigged against them. They're brilliant at planning, but lack practical wisdom about human nature.
They're prisoners of their own intellect. They think if they can just find the right lever, they can change the world. But power isn't a machine. It's a living, breathing organism that resists control.
There's also a cautionary tale about moral absolutism. The conspirators were absolutely certain they were right. They saw the world in black and white, which gave them courage but blinded them to moral complexity. They became the very thing they sought to destroy.
The most powerful takeaway for me was that lasting change doesn't come from secret plots. It comes from open, patient, incremental work, building consensus, persuading people, working within the system. The conspirators wanted a quick fix, but that only made things worse.
Holiday's tone isn't moralistic either. He's analytical. He wants to understand what makes someone risk everything for a secret plan. And in an age of polarization and distrust, the temptation to conspiracy is stronger than ever.
We're all susceptible to the allure of the simple explanation, the hidden hand. But this book is a reminder that the world is too complex for any small group to truly control the outcome of major events.
The one thing I'm taking away is that the path to a better world isn't paved with secret plots. It's paved with honest effort and patient persuasion. The conspirators thought they were masters of their fate, but they were really pawns in a much larger game.
And if you want to go deeper into books like this, the whole library is on the 7-Minute Books app, over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So the real lesson of conspiracy is that control is an illusion, and the most effective way to change the world is through openness and collaboration. We'll see you in the next one.